Thank you, ladies, who should be precious to us.
Amen.
If you would please take your Bibles, go ahead and stand. Turn the book to 1 Timothy. Book to 1 Timothy. Sure do appreciate the opportunity to preach tonight. I miss Pastor when he's not here, but I enjoy the opportunities to preach. And I just realized that I don't think I've preached a Sunday night here before. It's kind of strange seeing a bunch of people up here. But hopefully that doesn't scare me too much. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. The Bible says this, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." Now turn over with me to Ephesians, book of Ephesians chapter 5. Keep your bookmark or whatever it is you use in the book of 1 Timothy. We'll be back there. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, start reading verse number 24. "Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish." If you want a title for tonight's message, it's going to be How to Behave in God's Church. how to behave in God's church. Brother Tim Caudill, will you lead us in prayer, please?
Father, we thank you once again for the opportunity to be in your house tonight. I pray you give my brother great clarity of thought and presence of mind as he breaks the bread of life that is placed before us here tonight. I pray you'd help us to be attentive to the word, that we might not just be hearers of the word, but doers of that which we hear as well. And we just pray that you'd speak to our hearts, instruct us, Father, through your Spirit. And we pray all these things in your Son's precious and holy name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, I realize that many of us here, we know, many of you know more about the church than I do. You have much more experience with this kind of thing. But this is just what the Lord laid on my heart. As soon as Pastor asked me to preach, my mind just went to this passage. And I've been in the Institute. We had done 1 Timothy a couple weeks back. And I was just going through and trying to pull out some things that in my own personal Bible study, and I just got done somewhere around this passage, and a pastor asked me to preach, so I believe that's what the Lord would have for us tonight. As I said, I believe this is where the Lord wants us. I love our church. I really do. I think we have a great church. We have a great pastor, and but the church is made up of people. I think we all understand that tonight. I'm going to hit on that a little bit later on, but the church is made of people, and it's no secret that the church is under attack. It is no secret that there are many people who go up against the church on a daily basis. The church is the only thing that the Lord Jesus Christ instituted on this earth. I think it's important. I think it's important that we defend it, that we know a little something about it. And so as I go through the message tonight, I hope that that you don't just tune me out, because I believe this is where the Lord wants us. So, as I said, the church is under attack. And as I said, the church is made up of people. Now, these people are to use their talents and their abilities to spread forth the gospel, to build up the church so that the church may go out. You know, part of the responsibility of churches is not just to build up people, but to get people to come in. We don't just want to stay with the same people all the time. We want to go out and reach others. So that is part of the duties. Now, to do this, the Lord Jesus Christ uses people. And that's humbling to me, the fact that the Lord can use whatever talents I have or whatever talents you have to reach others. Now, as a member of the body of Christ, we all have certain abilities, we all have certain duties and responsibilities. Now, as a church, if one person is lax in their duties, we all suffer. If one person, all it takes is one person, even in a church of 120, 130, however many we have tonight, even if one person is lax in their duties, it could make us all suffer. It is more important now than ever that people keep their behaviors in check, because the devil will do everything possible to destroy this church. Not just any church, but this church. We are in his crosshairs. Directly. At any time, there are attacks going against us. It is more important now than ever that the church is united, that we are having the same goals, that we are having the exact same end in mind. Now, as I go throughout the message tonight, I will ask that you will keep in mind what specifically you can change. What behaviors can you change? I thought about this myself plenty, believe me. As I was studying and as I was preparing, there was a lot of things brought to my attention that I could change. And I ask that you would do the same. As we go throughout this passage, we're going to talk about the 1 Timothy chapter 3. And verse 15, Paul here uses three different names for the church. And each one has a slightly different meaning. The first one is the house of God. The second one is the church of the living God. And the third one is pillar and ground of the truth. Each one is the church. But each one has a different aspect to the church. And I'll explain later what that means. But as we go throughout the message, try to keep in mind not just what the church can change, but what you can change and what I can change. The church is made up of people, and when one person brings a negative attitude or thought, it affects others. It even affects our services. It affects the preaching as well. So these things I ask you to keep in mind. Now, I'm just going to go through a little bit of background. I don't want to waste a lot of time on this, but I think it's important that we understand context. Context is very, very important, so I hope that you'll stick with me as we go through this. Now, the epistle of 1 Timothy was written by Paul to make Timothy aware of the false teachings going on around him. Okay, Timothy at this point was in Ephesus, and while he was in Ephesus, he was organizing the church. He was trying to build it up. That was his whole goal. But while he was there, go figure, he's trying to build a church. And here come the false teachers. Here come the people who want to see it tore down or never see it built up. So while this is happening, Paul decides to write the book to 1 Timothy. Now, whenever there's a bunch of people gathered together, there's going to be difference of opinions. There's going to be differences in, you know, slightly, maybe some standards, maybe something of that sort, hopefully nothing major. But whenever you get a bunch of people in a room, there's probably going to be some differences. Okay? Now, I hope that everyone realizes that. If not, find someone to talk to later on. I'm sure you'll find something that you believe different. Now, it's okay to have difference in opinions. There's nothing wrong with that, because all of us have different personalities. Okay? Now, I might have personality different from Brother Alder, but we can still find something to get along with. We can still share common ground. And hopefully at church, that common ground is the Bible. Hopefully we all believe the same Bible and the same things that are taught. Now, the problem with these opinions or beliefs is when they're contrary to the Word of God. Whenever I have an opinion, or Brother Alder has an opinion that is different from the Word of God, that's a problem. But here at the church, we're all going to have difference of opinion. Now, at this time, Timothy was in Ephesus while Paul was under house arrest in Rome. Okay, he was under house arrest for about 2 years. Timothy is dealing with a lot of false teachers and was trying to organize the church, as I already said. Paul hears that there is much opposition against Timothy and writes this epistle. Okay, now, the theme of the epistle is behavior. That's kind of why I titled the message the way that I did. The whole book of 1 Timothy is about behavior, not just for the people, but also for pastors, evangelists, and those kind of things. Now, after Paul hears this, Paul writes to Timothy that God has plans for his church. God has ideas and God has policies and rules of how we should gather together tonight and how they should gather together back in Timothy's day. God has ideas and rules for his church, and we ought to follow them. In verse number 15 of 1 Timothy 3, it says, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God." That doesn't sound like a question to me. Paul is saying, Timothy, this is how you should behave. This is what you should do. You shouldn't follow these false teachers over here. Instead, you should follow the Word of God, because that's the only thing that's worth standing on. The word behave means to busy oneself or conduct. Now, there's a certain way, as I said, that God expects us to act and even to treat one another in his church. There are certain things that God has us do. Now, Paul is a man of order and structure because that is how God is. God is a God of structure. He's a God of discipline and a God of order. Okay, and I appreciate the fact that pastors like that as well, because that's how God wants it. God doesn't want us to show up for church and just, you know, kind of talk to each other, and maybe there might be a lesson. No, there's structure and there's order in the Lord's church. Now, as I said, Paul is a man of order, and that's the way he kind of lays it out. Now, as I said, the three main points for tonight's lesson are going to be in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. And that is the three names for the church. And that number one is the house of God, number two, the church of the living God, and number three, the pillar and ground of the truth. Okay, so number one, let's just jump right in here. I don't want to waste a lot of time with the introduction, but point number one is the house of God. Now, that word house means just probably what we would think it means. It means a dwelling, means a household, depending on the context that it's used. Here specifically, it would mean a dwelling or a temple. Now, it should not come to as a surprise to us that the church should be a place where God feels welcome. Right. It shouldn't be a surprise that if the Lord instituted a church, he probably wants to be there. Whenever we gather, we should make the church in a way to where God, if we could see God, he should be willing to come in these doors. We should open the doors and he should feel welcome. And that in part means that others should feel welcome as well. How are we supposed to reach others if they don't feel welcome here? Our goal should be, or one of our goals should be, to make God feel at home. Now, I don't know about you, but when my wife and I moved in January, we moved to another place here in town. And when we did a lot of work to try to make the house our own. Okay, we didn't hang up pictures of different families. Okay, we like pictures of us because that makes us feel welcome. Okay, whenever God comes in, he wants to see things that remind him of him. Right. Like I said, you wouldn't decorate your house with stuff that you don't like. You would decorate your house with stuff that, oh, that looks nice. That, you know, that picture looks nice. I'm going to put it right here in the middle. That's how it should be. That's how our houses are. That's how God's house should be.
Right.
We should walk in. We should walk in a church and say, you know, God's here. He's here. He's welcome here. That's why I like whenever you open those doors, you see the pulpit is the first thing. I love that. That means our church is centered around the Word of God, the preaching of the Word of God. I love the music too. I love the choir special. I love the special that the ladies sing. But the Word of God tops it all. And that's how God wants it. We should strive to make God feel at home. Now, interesting note, when Paul is writing back over in chapter 1, of 1 Timothy. I'm sorry, no, it was chapter 3 of 1 Timothy, I'm sorry. Verses 4 and 5, Paul is laying out the qualifications for a bishop. He's laying out what a man must do in order to qualify to be a bishop, or as we would say, a pastor. Now, verse 4 is one that ruleth well his own house. That is the exact same word that is used in verse number 15, the house of God. That goes to tell me that if a pastor is supposed to rule his house a certain way, God wants to rule the church a certain way. There are certain things that need to be present for a church to be God's house. And as I already stated, I believe that the preaching of the Word of God is paramount to that. It must be there. There are rules and standards for a church. I don't think I have the time to even go there, but it is very, very important that we realize that God has rules for His church. Definitely has rules. Now, this is not to say that only certain people are allowed to come to church, okay? That's not what we're saying at all. Everyone is welcome. However, this does mean that because God has rules for His house, we should not be ashamed to follow them. That means that since we're in the devil's crosshairs, since the devil is doing everything he can to bring us down, since he is doing that, there are going to be things that try to come in our church. There are going to be compromises that are trying to make their way in that door. There's always something. Always. But whenever those things come, we should not be ashamed to say no. We're not doing that here. Yes, people are welcome, absolutely. But certain things are not welcome here. There is absolutely nothing wrong with turning away anything that takes the focus off the Word of God.
Amen.
Absolutely nothing wrong with that. Since the church is the house of God, our behavior should dictate that it is His home and it is the dwelling place of the Most High God.
Amen.
Our behavior should dictate that. Not just the decorations, not just the pulpit, but there should be something different about us. When we walked into church, it's not like walking in at home. Okay, I don't take my jacket off and throw it on one of the pews and take my shoes off, because that's weird anyway. But I keep my shoes on and I keep my jacket on and I keep my tie straight, because this is the Lord's house. This is His house, not mine. That is the behavior that we should have. That it is His home and not ours. Now that was number one, the house of God. Number two, the church of the living God. Now, I don't want to spend a lot of time on this. I think we all are aware of what the church is. The church is a called-out assembly. Okay, that means in order to be a part of our church, you have to fulfill certain qualifications. The Bible is very clear about this. We don't make this up, and you know we believe this. In order to be a part of our church, one, you have to be saved. And number two, you have to be baptized. We believe that with every bone in my body. We have to be a part of the church in a certain way. This means that only people who have done certain things can be a part of this church. A church is more than a building. It is a body. It's a body. Now turn over with me one more time to Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 23 says, "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Okay, so Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23 teaches plainly that Christ is the head of the body. Okay, we are the body of Christ. This passage teaches that the church is a body or a living organism. Okay, the church is alive. Do you believe that tonight? The church is alive. It is alive. The book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, let's go ahead and turn over there real quick. I think we have time. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. If not, we'll make time. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Start reading in verse number 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members of every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. Okay, so the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12 speaks at length about the different gifts of the people in the church and how each person is an integral part of the church. Okay, each person, if you are a part of Calvary Baptist Church tonight, each one of you and myself, we are a part of this church. We are each equally responsible for certain things. Okay, so I'm going to do something a little different. I'm going to ask everyone if they can stand. This is not the invitation time. But if you could, just go ahead and stand. I want to illustrate something real quick. Now, as we stand tonight, we're going to do a little illustration that represents that as a church, we are united. Okay, we have one goal, and that is to show that we worship and serve the Lord Jesus Christ. That should be our goal. Now, we are one body that is made up of many different members. Okay, that's no secret. Meaning that each of us have a part to play in the body. However, if one part of the body is not fulfilling their duty and not walking with the Lord as they should, the body is not properly functioning and we cannot all proceed as we were. Okay, so what that means is we are all a part of the body. If one member fails, the body is crippled. Okay, so let's say we're speaking about behavior tonight. So let's say that myself and Brother Alder here, I love Brother Alder, by the way, Brother Alder here, he says something that I don't like, okay? He says something that maybe offends me or something of that sort. So because of that, there's now a bitter spirit between Brother Alder and I. So since neither one of us are correctly walking with the Lord, because if you're walking with the Lord, you're getting along with everyone, okay? So Brother Alder and I are having an issue. So I'm going to ask Brother Alder if he could sit down for me, please. So Brother Alder and I are no longer in fellowship. So that means that because Brother Alder is sitting, and I would be sitting as well, is the whole body functioning as one unit? It's not. So now that Brother Alder is out of commission, if you will, maybe he takes some people along with him, because Brother Alder is looked up to in this church, I believe. So Brother Alder here, he's sitting down. So I wonder how many other people will sit down with him. So let's say, Brother Pena, you sit behind him. So go ahead and sit down for me, please. So now we have a chain effect here. Brother Alder and I have broken fellowship. We're not getting along. So other people see Brother Alder and they say, you know, Brother Alder, you might have a point there. Yeah, that Mason guy has no idea what he's talking about. There's no surprise. But so we're broken fellowship. So people start taking sides maybe. So now the spirit of our church is not the same. The behavior is not the same. So Brother Pena sits down and then maybe Brother Collins sits down as well. Can you sit down for me, please? And maybe my parents sit down, because they're not going to follow me, so I'll sit down. I'm just kidding. But you see what happens here. All it takes is one person, one member, and the whole unit is subject to failure.
That's right.
So this whole mess about, oh, it doesn't matter how I live. It doesn't matter what I do outside of church. Friend, it matters.
Right.
It matters because now our fellowship is broke. And now Brother Pena's gone. And Brother Tollins is gone. And now my family is gone. And next thing you know, half the church is gone. Because one member, just one member, that's all it takes. Go ahead and be seated. That's all it takes is just one member. Because we are a part of a body. One body. Not many bodies. Just one. And it should stare us, Ephesians 5, verse 23, that Christ is the head of this body. Because he is the head and we are the body, the head does all the thinking, in case you didn't know. The head dictates what the rest of the body does. So we, as part of the body, should be following the head. Whenever the head says, go this way, the body should follow. Whenever the head says, you probably shouldn't say that, we shouldn't say it. Does everyone see the point here? This is very, very important, because all it takes is one member. Just one. Have you ever had one of those times where, like, you're sitting for a long time and your leg falls asleep and you try to get up and you just start limping, you know? That affects your body. One member. It's the same principle with the church. Whatever the head says, the body should do. As a part of the Lord's body, each one of us is given specific talents or gifts that we are to use to make the body better. We are to use the talents, and everyone has talent, okay? Everyone has a talent that they are to be using to further and to build up the Lord's church. Now, I get the fact that, you know, not everyone sings, not everyone preaches. I get that. But there's always something to do. There's always something. The way that we use our God-given talent should point others to Christ. The way that we use our talent should do nothing but point others to Him. That's all it should do. Now, I want you to note, not only are we a part of a living body called the church, but over in 1 Timothy chapter 3, again, verse number 15, it says, which is the church of the living God? The living God. Not only are we a part of a living body called the church, but we serve a living God. Amen. The body is alive because the head is alive. If Jesus Christ were not alive, we wouldn't be a living organism. Okay? We would not be a church that has goals. Okay? We would be a dead church by default. The Lord Jesus Christ is alive. We are the church of the living God. I think this is important in realizing what our goals are. Okay? The word living means just what we would think it would mean. It means to be alive and lively. Okay? Lively. So, since everyone has had a nap and is all excited tonight, we should be lively. Amen. We should be a lively church. Amen. We should be a church where, one, God feels welcome, and two, doesn't look like it's dead.
Right.
Okay?
Amen.
We should be a church where people say, I like that church. Everyone's friendly, everyone's happy. I know we get that a lot, and that's a good thing.
Amen.
But just as a reminder, people make up the church. Okay? So, by implication, don't act like a dead person. Okay? Be lively. Be happy. Be happy to be in church.
Amen.
Simply put, our behavior should be that we are part of a living body, and we serve a God that is every bit as alive as we are. That's how we should act. Now, the last name that is used is the pillar and ground of the truth. The pillar and ground of the truth. The church is to be not only a place that is welcoming to God, and not only a place that is recognized and treated as the living body of God, but lastly is to be a place of support for the truth. Okay, the church is to be a place where the truth is supported. Now, that word pillar is only used twice in the New Testament, and it means, basically, when you boil it all down, it means to support. Okay, just like we would think of as a pillar. Now that word ground is used just this once in the New Testament. That means basically the same thing. It means to be basis or support. Okay, so the church should be a place that is safe from lies, deceit, heresy, blasphemy, dishonesty, any other synonym that you want to use that does not describe truth. Okay? So the church is supposed to be a place to where you can escape all the lies of the world. Okay? I can go anywhere and get some lies. Okay? You can go to any news channel and get some lies. Okay? But you should come to the church and just expect to get truth. This should be the one place where you walk in and not have to worry about being lied to. Okay? This should be a place to where God feels welcome. God's word is preached, and you know it's all truth. That should be what the church is. Now, as I've said this many times, I'm going to say it one more time. It is important to realize that the church is made up of people. In order for the church to be a safe place for truth, the people have to be a safe place for truth. The people who make up the church need to be every bit as welcoming to God, need to be every bit as truthful as the church is. I don't understand. Why would you want to come to church and want to hear truth when you're not speaking the truth? We have to be truthful people. We have to be honest. And that doesn't just mean in the church. That means everywhere. Because, I mean, I know we know this, but people sense when there's something different going on. Okay? Maybe not necessarily where I work, but where most of you work, whenever people see a Christian, it's different. Okay? Whenever people see someone who isn't in with the lies and in with, you know, whatever it is that they're doing, it's different. It really is. We should be honest people. In short, the church will be no more of a basis or support for the truth than the families that make it up. The church can be no more of a safe place than my home and your home. Now back over in Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 25. Says this, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. The Lord Jesus died and willingly gave of himself for the church. If he gave of himself for the church as he did, I would think he probably saw it as important. There's not a whole lot of things that I would be willing to give myself for. Okay, there's not a whole lot of causes out there today that I would be willing to give of myself for. But the Lord Jesus Christ, when he started the church, when he instituted the church, he was willing to give himself. Not just part of himself. He was willing to give it all. He was willing to give all he had for it. Now in verses 26 and 27 of Ephesians chapter 5, it basically tells the end goal for the church. Okay, so in verse 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. If you read that a couple times, it'll make you think a little bit. The Lord Jesus Christ wants his church in such a way that it is holy and without blemish. That he might present it to himself a glorious church. Now tonight, I believe that our church is good. I believe that with all my heart. We have a good church. We have a good pastor. I'm not saying we don't. But what I'm saying is we need to be mindful of these things. Because there are a lot of churches out there that were good churches. There were a lot of churches out there that I could probably name you that at one time they were good churches like ours. They were probably holy and without blemish. But now they're not. And the reason why is because churches are made up of families. They're made up of individuals. As I did in the illustration earlier, all it takes is one member. That's all it takes. Just one member to say, I don't know about that. I think I'm going to kind of go over here. Well, I don't know about that. But, I mean, the King James is pretty old. There are a lot of newer ones out there. That baptism thing, I don't know. I don't know about that. I mean, really, why does the Lord's Supper have to be closed? I mean, I'm saved. This is how it all starts.
Right.
It all starts as maybe something small. And then it gets bigger. And then next thing you know, maybe this whole half of the church is gone. It starts off small. And it starts off with individuals. Husbands, you're called to be the head of the family. You're called to lead the family. Just like I'm called to lead my wife. We are a unit. Whenever I decide it's okay for something to slide by, that means that I am putting my seal of approval on that. And so now, I'm taking my wife with me.
That's right.
I am. And in our specific case, we teach junior church downstairs. So if I start going off the deep end, I have a whole class that's going to be confused about that.
That's right. That's
right. And the next thing you know, well, Brother Mason said this was okay. As a teacher, that terrifies me. Okay, can I just be honest with you? I am terrified. Those kids are 8 to 12 years old. They're asking me questions they should not be asking. Okay? Some of you need to do some classes with your kids. I'm just saying. No, I'm kidding. We have great kids in our church. We really do. I love them to death. They keep me on my toes, but I love them. But all it takes is maybe one person, maybe one teacher. Just one. I cannot emphasize this enough. Just one. Mm-hmm. Not even a couple of families. Just one. To say, I don't know about that. Just like the Lord Jesus Christ gave of His all, why shouldn't we give of our all?
Right.
Why shouldn't we say, you know what? The church, the Lord Jesus Christ said that the church is worth giving yourself for. Why shouldn't I do the same?
Right.
Why shouldn't I sacrifice a little bit of time and a little bit of effort to maybe try to get through to someone? Why not? Why not be willing to sacrifice a little for a lot? We all have different talents. We all have different abilities. And maybe there's someone that I could reach that maybe Brother Pena can't reach. Maybe somewhere outside this building, there's someone waiting for me to say something. Maybe there's someone outside this building waiting for Brother Jed to say something. And when we fail to sacrifice, when we fail to give of ourselves, that person's never going to hear. Because they're waiting for you. And they're waiting for me. As members of a body, we should all behave in a way that we act like one body.
Right.
As Paul says, everyone is different. Everyone can't be a nose on the body. Everyone can't be an ear on the body. Okay? Everyone is different. We all have different roles to play. That's why we all have to be on the same page doing the same thing. That is so important. You can't walk forward if your foot is bent backwards. Okay? Can't be done. This is very, very important to us. Now, as I said, verses 26 and 27 of Ephesians chapter 5, they are basically the end all for the church. This is what our church should be, so that when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back, and He's going to,
Amen.
When He does, this is how we need to be seen. This is humbling if you read it. It is very humbling. The Lord Jesus Christ wants His bride to be pure and holy and without blemish. When He comes to claim His own, He wants nothing more than for us to look Him in the eye and say that we are pure. If the Lord Jesus Christ were to come back, could we as a church look Him in the eye and say, Lord, we did all we could to be holy. We did all that we could to keep the wrinkles out. We did all that we could to keep the blemishes and the compromises out. Could we say that? Men, have you done everything that you can to keep your families without blemish? Have you done everything possible to keep your families away from the wrinkles? Because that's what the Lord Jesus Christ wants. He wants us to be holy and without spot, without blemish. That's what He wants. He wants us to say, as a church, that we follow Him and no other. That we love Him and no other. He wants us to say that we follow and support the truth. He wants to hear that from us. That our families are pure. That our lives are pure. That's what He wants. That is His desire for our church. Not that we have the coolest music program in the city. Not to hear that our outreach is just amazing. That's good. But He wants our church to be holy and to be pure, without wrinkle. That's what He wants. Now, by way of application tonight, God expects certain behavior from us, both personally and as a church. We are to be on our best behavior, I guess you could say. You know, kids, when your parents tell you, be on your best behavior, there's people coming over, don't go crazy, don't be throwing stuff, no food fights tonight. That's how we should treat the Lord's church. Maybe we should hang a sign on the front door, be on your best behavior. No, I'm kidding. We should be on our best behavior. We should treat His church the best possible way. Now, number two, God expects us to make Him feel welcome in His house. He doesn't just want that. Okay? He doesn't just want to feel welcome. He expects to feel welcome. Okay? Because why would you go to church if you don't want God to meet with you? And in order for Him to meet with you, He's got to feel welcome. I don't go to people's houses that I don't know. Right? It's the same way with God and His church. Maybe if we could picture it this way. Maybe if we could picture that God has a literal house. And maybe one day, a representative from every church in the city puts a tract on His door. Okay? God looks at those tracts. He's reading them. He says, well, nope. 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 Do you think He would pick our church to come to? Do you think that maybe God would willingly come to our church? I think so, absolutely. But we need to keep it that way. We need to keep our church in such a way that at any point in time, God could walk in those doors. I believe He's here tonight, don't you? I believe He's here. But we want to keep Him here. Okay? We want to keep Him welcome here. That should be our goal. Now, number three. God expects us to treat His body as though it is our own. Okay, He expects us to treat His body in a certain way. That means I, as a member of the body, need to treat other members of the body in a good way. There shouldn't be any willingness to break bones. Okay? Any willingness to cut off another member. We need to treat His body as though it is our own. God expects us to make His church the basis and support for the truth. God expects His church that He feels welcome at to be a safe place for the truth. That's how it should be. We shouldn't have to fear when we walk into church if the truth is going to be taught or not. We shouldn't have to fear whether or not the guy that's preaching tonight is going to use the King James or not. We should know it. We should expect it. God expects it. Why shouldn't we? And I have no doubt in my mind that Pastor will never, ever do anything but the King James. Okay? That's not what I'm saying, because he would probably kill me. But what I am saying is the church should be safe. It should be safe. Everything outside of this building, or most things outside of this building, are not safe. Okay? Not safe at all. But His church is. And we should keep it that way. To where you could, I don't have kids, but when I do, I should be willing to turn my kids over to the teachers downstairs.
Right.
I, as a teacher, strive for that. And I want the other teachers to do the same. Because this place should be a safe place for truth. Safe place for truth. That should be a goal of ours. Now, when it comes to behavior, number one, we saw that the house of God should feel welcome. Should feel welcome to Him. Church of living God, our church should be alive. We should be happy to be here. And lastly, the pillar and ground of the truth. The church should be a safe haven for the truth. I love our church.
Amen.
I hope you do too. And we have some great people in our church. And I can't even say how much I've learned, how much I've gone to people for questions and asked for someone with greater experience than I. And I love that. And I hope our church never changes. But when it does, I hope it changes for the better. That's my prayer. That's my hope. So maybe you're here tonight, and maybe you're not contributing as you should be. Maybe there's something the Lord's been working on your heart about. Maybe you need to join the body or help lift up the body. Because the church is about more than any one person. It's a unit. It's a body. And when all of us are doing our parts, the body is working. Maybe that's you tonight. Maybe you want to come and just thank the Lord for our church. I gotta tell you, that was most of my study time, was just thanking the Lord for our church. Maybe you need to thank the Lord for our pastor who leads this church. Maybe you need to come and maybe deal with some behaviors, some negative attitudes. Maybe you have a problem with a fellow brother or sister in Christ. Maybe you need to come deal with that tonight. I don't know how the Lord may have spoken to you. I know that the Lord spoke to me in many ways. But don't hesitate to come. So everyone, go ahead and stand. Bow your heads, close your eyes if you would.